إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, on the subject of justice, which is what we have been talking about for the last 2 days, we spoke about justice with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu and His rights. We spoke about justice with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rights of that. Today I want to talk about the third aspect of justice, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran several times after speaking about duty to him and to his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the duties and the rights, and with in respect of those rights, justice to parents. Parents have been given an importance in the Quran that is second only to the importance given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned with regard to the used even the words that Allah used. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word birr, which is the word which is translated as piety, and He used birr with respect to walidain, which is birr is piety of the highest order, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said لَن تَنَالُوا بِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You cannot reach a state of birr, a state of piety, until and unless you sacrifice and you give and spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which you love the most. Not just anything, but something that is dear to you. So you have to prove that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you are admitted into that area of people who are called the people of birr. Allah used this word with respect to parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word ihsan with respect to parents. وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانَ. Allah used this word ihsan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used in the dua in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to make dua for the parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word Rabb Himself. رَبَّ يَعْنِي سَخِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word with respect to parents. So the importance of parents is in the Quran and in Surah Al-Luqman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this again very clearly with respect to parents, especially with respect to the mother, and also in another place with respect to the mother, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the trials and the difficulties of pregnancy and so on, and therefore to be dutiful to them, to obey them. What is the level of this obedience? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the famous hadith, where he said that the Jannah for the person is beneath the feet of his mother or her mother. One day I was talking in the lecture on marital rights, on the rights of husbands and wives, and somebody asked me a question. They said, what if the husband has to choose between the wife and the mother, between the wife and his mother? So I said that's a simple choice, because under the feet of the mother is Jannah, under the feet of the wife is mud. So I'm not saying that the husband should ignore the wife, but if it comes to the point of to wo urdu mein sawal kare to mere ko main bola uski amma ke paon ke niche jannat hai tumhare paon ke niche matti hai. So the point is that if it comes to that, so but jokes apart, this is the seriousness of that. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the Jannah is beneath the feet of the mother. He said the father is a door of the Jannah. Another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the two parents, one is one door of Jannah, the other one is the other door of Jannah. When one dies, that door closes, and the other dies, the other door closes. And that, of course, does not mean that the door has closed for the one who has served the parents. Because the one who has served the parents, inshallah, the door is open for them because of the du'as of the parents that they were able to get. But those who ignore their parents, who trouble their parents, who don't serve their parents, for them this is a warning. There's another beautiful hadith where a man came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he complained to him. And he said to him that, Ya Rasulullah, my father, joint families, everybody live together. So he said, my father comes when I'm not at home, my father comes and, he takes my wallet from, takes my money from wherever it is kept in my pocket of my robe or whatever, and he spends it. He doesn't tell me. He just takes it and he spends the money. And then when I go somewhere and so forth, I need money, I put my hand in my pocket and the money is not there. And it's very embarrassing for me. So please tell my father not to take my money without asking me. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called the father. And he called this guy also. And he asked him. He said, this is what your son is saying. The father said, I needed the money, so I took it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the man, the young man, he said to him that if your father takes you, he's talking about taking your money. He said, if your father takes you and sells you as a slave in the market, that is his right. He can do that. So he says, your father not only owns your money, he owns you. And if he takes you and sells you in this market as a slave, that is his right. And then in private, he told the father, don't do that. He said, don't just take the money. I mean, it's embarrassing for the guy. You just take the money like that. So have some consideration for the man. But the point being that these are the rights of the parents. Ibrahim alayhi salam goes to meet Ismail alayhi salam. And by then Ismail alayhi salam is married and so on and so forth. So when Ismail alayhi salam, I don't know if you are aware, but in the seerah it comes that Ismail alayhi salam was by profession, he was a hunter. He was a great archer and he was a hunter. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam came there, Ismail alayhi salam was not home. He had gone away. And usually, hunting expeditions for days together and so on. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam came to the house of Ismail alayhi salam, a lady opened the door. So Ibrahim, she didn't know, obviously, she did not know who Ibrahim alayhi salam is. She saw this old man standing there. He asked her, who are you? She said, I am the wife of Ismail. So he said, how are things with you? So she said, things are not so great. And he goes off hunting and he comes and sometimes we have enough to eat and so on. Sometimes we don't have enough to eat. And so she complained about the circumstances and so on. So he said to her, he didn't say who he was. He said, when your husband comes home, tell him that an old man was here to see him. And he asked the husband to change the door frame of the house. And he went back. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a great traveler. Back meaning he went back to Jerusalem from Makkah. Can you imagine? So he left and went away. When Ismail alayhi salam came, this lady said, some old man was here to see you. And he gave a message for you, and the message is to change the door frame. So Ismail alayhi salam said that old man was my father, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and change the door frame means to give talaq to you. And so therefore, salam alaikum. Then he asked her, what happened? What did you do? He said, this is what I said. She said, that's why he said it, because you complained against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You complained about your condition, and this is complaints of what Allah has provided us. My father is a Nabi. He's Khalilullah. Several years later, Ibrahim alayhi salam came back. And now Ismail alayhi salam had another wife. And that wife also had no clue who Ibrahim alayhi salam was. So again, the same story. So coincidentally, it so happened that Ismail alayhi salam was not there. So he came and he asked her, how are things? She said, Alhamdulillah, very nice. He said, what about your, things? He said, Alhamdulillah, Allah provides, no problem. So he said, when your husband comes back, tell him, Alhamdulillah, things are good. So I'm saying the point is that this is the authority of the father. I'm not suggesting to the fathers here to tell them to sons to divorce their wives, but I'm saying that this is the level of authority. I mean, again, we don't just take something, but like we said, the stories of the Anbiya are as a lesson for us. So the authority of the pena issue is, there's only one issue in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not only permitted, but Allah has ordered the children not to obey their parents. Now imagine, here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the rights of parents with absolute obedience. And incidentally, think about this. All of what I said applies to parents, not necessarily Muslim parents. So even where people, and we have many cases of this case, where a person has accepted Islam, parents are not Muslim, the same rights apply to those parents. Now you might say, how is Jannah under the feet of a mushrik mother? How is Jannah under the feet of a mother who is not a Muslim? Jannah is under the feet of that mother, not because of who the mother is, but because of how you treat the mother. Right? It's not a question of the mother being a mushrik or not a mushrik. Jannah is under the feet of the mother because of how you treat the mother. So whether the mother is a Muslim or not Muslim makes no difference. Rasulullah was married to the daughter of Abu Sufyan before Abu Sufyan became Muslim. Yeah, Umm Habiba radiallahu anha. So Abu Sufyan came to meet Rasulullah, and there's a long story with regard to why he came and so on and so forth, but he came after Sulh Hudaybiyah. The Quraysh broke the truce, and so Abu Sufyan was afraid that Rasulullah would declare war on Makkah. So he came to try to pacify him or to try to get some support against Rasulullah. So he came to Medina, and obviously he went to his daughter's house, which is the house of Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, our mother. And when he entered the house, Umm Habiba radiallahu anha turned over the bed of Rasulullah. She folded it up. So Abu Sufyan jokingly said, "Oh, you folded up the bed of your husband because it is not good enough for me to sit on." So she said, "No, that's not why I folded the bed up. I folded the bed up because you are not good enough to sit on that bed." Right? Now point is, I mean, you might laugh at this thing, but when this was reported to Nabi, he got upset. He said, "You do not speak to your father like that." Who is the father? The father is the head of the enemies of Nabi. Abu Sufyan was the head of the Quraysh. He was the one who tried his best to kill Nabi. He was the best to try to harm Nabi in every possible way. Later on he became a Muslim. He's one of the greatest Sahaba of Nabi. But at this point of the story, he was the number one enemy of Nabi. But what is he telling his daughter? He said, "No, your conduct was not good. You should not talk to your father like that." Yeah? So issue of Muslim or not Muslim is not the case. Issue of treating parents. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having said all of this about parents and saying that parents have this authority, parents must be respected, parents must be served and so on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a condition to say that parents, in case parents ask you to do shirk, if they try to make you commit shirk, and by extension this refers to disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. It's not only shirk. In some cases it might be shirk, in some cases it might be disobedience of some other way. Somebody might say, "No, take an interest-based loan." Taking an interest-based loan is not shirk in the sense of worshipping, it's not shirk in ubudiyat, but it's shirk in disobeying the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some other way. Somebody says, "Take an interest-based loan." Somebody says, "This business is halal whereas it is not halal." Some parents might say that. Some parents, may Allah forgive us and forgive our parents, I know many cases where parents try to force daughters not to wear hijab. They try to take the hijab off the girl. They try to force daughters not to wear hijab. In many cases, they try to force their sons to shave their beards, conforming to whatever they think is useful in the modern world, and so on and so forth. All of these things come under the same framework of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobedience of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the same thing really, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if any of these things happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then disobey them in this matter. So not only are we as children, not only is it permissible to disobey parents if they tell you to do something which is against the Sharia, which is against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or against the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only is it permissible, but it is your duty. You have been commanded to do that, to disobey in this case. But that is the only case, not in any other case. In every other case, Your duty is to obey your parents unconditionally. To the extent, for example, if you've got this great high-paying job, you are Secretary General of the United Nations and you are living in New York and your parents are living in India or wherever they are living, in whichever country you come from, and the parents need you and the parents say, we want you here. Then you are supposed to leave that job, either move the headquarters of the United Nations to your country, or leave that job. I mean, that's another way of doing it. But leave that job and come and serve your parents. That is your duty before Allah. You can't say, well, you know what, I am sending you this money and I will have a day nurse and a night nurse for you and I will have this. No. They don't need all that. They need you. They need your physical presence with them because they need their son, they need their daughter. And that is your duty to do that. It's the duty of the husbands, if their wives' parents need them, to allow the wives to go and serve their parents. You can't say, sorry, you are married, you belong to me. No. She belongs to you in a way, as a husband, but she still has her duty to her parents. So you cannot prevent her from serving her parents if they need her. Right? Now, obviously, the advice to the parents also is that don't just be frivolous about this. You have an authority, alhamdulillah, Allah has given that authority. Don't misuse that authority. Because if you misuse the authority, then you are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, this is the right of the parent. If the parent calls the son or daughter from wherever they are and they say, come here, if you don't go, you are sinful before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you go, you are not doing an ihsan of the parents. You are only fulfilling their rights. And I can tell you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens doors. You do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens doors for you like you can't believe. Unbelievable things will happen. I mean, all kinds of things Allah opens. But that is because you're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you're getting the dua of those parents. The dua of the parents is the only dua which goes directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, there are two kinds of duas which are never stopped. And both of these refer to du'as made by parents, made by people who are either Muslim or not. One is the du'a of the oppressed against the oppressor. Allah did not say the Muslim oppressed against the non-Muslim oppressor. No. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the du'a of the oppressed against the oppressor. Now think about this. If the oppressed person is not a Muslim, who is he calling on? He's calling on Jesus, he's calling on Ganapati, he's calling on this one, that one. Makes no difference. Dua goes to Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who listens to dua. So the dua of the oppressed against the oppressor, irrespective of whether that oppressor is Muslim or non-Muslim, this dua goes directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla Jalaluhu, whether or not the one making dua is even a Muslim. And the second dua which goes directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, is the dua of the parents for their children. And of course, vice versa, the dua of the children for the parents. But dua of the parent for the children is the most powerful thing in the world. So make dua. And that's why I tell parents, this is your responsibility. Make good dua for your children. Very sad to say, I've seen some parents who will not make dua for their parents. Not for any particular reason. Not because the child is, troublesome or something. Bukhul. Yeah? Final one. To re-emphasize the importance. One of the young Sahaba of Rasulullah was dying. And they came to him and they said, Ya Rasulullah, this man is in a state of Naza, he is in a state of great suffering. He is neither dying nor does he come back. He is, life is stuck in his throat. So please come and make dua for him. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went there and he saw the Sahabi in great pain leaving this earth. He asked people, he said, who is he, what is he, and so on and so on. So they explained to him and he asked him, is any of his parents, either of his parents, are they alive? He said, father passed away but mother is there. Where is the mother? Just she doesn't live here, she lives separately. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked them, what is his relationship with his mother? They said, it's not good. He was not a good son to the mother and the mother is upset with him. So relationship is not good. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, go to the mother and tell her that the son is in this state and to please forgive the son. So they went. Now obviously Allah knows best what the man did to her, but she refused. She said, I will not forgive him. What he has done to me, I will not forgive him. So they came back. They said, Ya Rasulullah, she is saying that she will not forgive the son. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then get firewood. Get firewood and pile it up here. And tell the mother that I am going to burn her son alive. Because unless I do that, Allah will burn him in Jahannam. So let me burn him now. While he is, you know, in the state of life still is there in him. So that at least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive him on the day of judgment. So they went and told the mother. They said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling for firewood to burn your son alive. She said, la. She said, no. He said, please, I forgive him. Now imagine the state of that mother also. All that son, whatever she did. But when it came to the issue of saying, somebody is going to burn my son alive, she said, no. I forgive him. She said, I completely forgive him. She said, I forgive him. And this man passed away. His life left. And that is the power of the dua of the parent. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this hadith also, what we are understanding is that this is dua. Therefore, advice to myself and you is, as far as your parents are concerned, whatever you do, make sure that you serve them, that you are just with them, that you give them their rights. And no matter whether the parents are nice to you or not nice to you, because this is one of the things, parents are human. I mean, your parents are not angels or malaika or something, right? So they will be, there are good parents and bad parents. There are parents who are just and who are unjust. There are parents who, you know, are also oppressors. I mean, may Allah forgive us. There are people who do all kinds of things. Now, irrespective of that, you do your part. You do your part. Whatever is with them is with them. And inshallah, Allah will change their hearts. But if that doesn't happen, when they face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will answer for what they did. But you do your part. What you are supposed to do, you do. Which is to serve them, be good to them, be respectful to them, not raise your voice against them. For anything, don't raise your voice again, don't shout at them, don't raise your voice again, don't ignore them. Treat them with respect, always, no matter what. And then make dua for them. This is your job as a son or a daughter. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, will accept this dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to value the presence of our parents in our lives as long as they are there. And for those whose parents have passed away, which includes mine, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu fill their qubur with noor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cover their faults on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the benefit of their du'as to you as their children for whatever you did for them in this life. May Allah give you all that I have asked, and then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you from His grace and majesty that which I have not asked. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.